Peter, oh wait, this might be right.
Yeah.
You want to put that camera and bring it over?
No, go ahead and you can sit right there. That'd be comfortable for you, I think.
You got enough.
Okay, you've done this before, I think, with the Maple Heights Library. And I'd like to have you tell me, if you will, a little bit about yourself. This will be not only for yourself, but actually for Maple Heights Schools, the background of the Maple Heights Schools, and kind of early Maple Heights as well. I'd like to know, for example, where you were born. I think you were born in Cleveland.
Yeah. Somewhere off of Union. You want me to check my birth certificate or not?
No, that's all right.
Just in Cleveland. And we were at a farm about 1 year down off around Hathaway Road in the canal. Dad worked at a farm there. I must have been quite young then, probably about 2 years old or so. Then we came back to Cleveland, and then in July in 1913, we moved off of Benham Avenue, Benham off of 93rd, and came to Maple Heights. Dad had been coming weekends on Milo Avenue in we just called it the Grove, until he built our big home there. So we moved in July of 1913. I was 6 years old at the time. There were four or five homes on Milo.
There were?
But this was a part of Bedford Township until 1915, when the men put up a petition, had it signed and with enough signatures, and said they wanted to join the village of Maple Heights. So that in 1915, I imagine that would have been about November or so, they voted on it and it was passed. My first year of school was in a home. It was just all open, just the frame on the outside on Maple. Maple is the road that you, as soon as you cross the bridge now, you get by the light, you go down the hill instead of continuing on Granger.
Yeah.
And down about a quarter of a mile around the bend, right close to the railroad track, was a one-room school. And all grades were in that.
Was that a district school from Bedford then?
It was part of Bedford then, see, because we were still Bedford Township.
Yeah.
And we had a big pot-bellied stove there. So that was my first year.
Are there any signs of that school building there at all?
I can't remember which building it is or was. It seemed like a home that was just a frame. And I guess later they did develop it into a home. I drove by here all last summer, and I couldn't recall just which house it would have been.
That was just a grade school then, I guess. Huh?
Just for 1 year.
Yeah. Do you remember how many kids were in there, or do you recall?
Oh, I would think there would be, I think around 18 or 20.
They were just kids from the Grove then,
just,
huh?
Just from the Grove, yeah.
And they call it the Grove at that time? When you came in?
I'm sure that's what we called it, Maple Grove. Because of the maple trees, and we didn't call it Maple Heights then. No. Couldn't yet.
You want to back up a little for me, please?
Yeah.
You have a Bohemian background.
Yeah, my dad was Bohemian. He lost his parents. They died when he was young. So he was with uncles, and his early life was along the canal and Tinker's Creek Road.
Oh, yeah.
And the farms from about the bottom of Dunham Hill, he farmed different fields around.
Was your dad born around there?
He was born in Cleveland. Mom came over when she was 15 from Czechoslovakia, and she had a couple of cousins that were here in this country, and they sponsored her, and they brought her here, and Mom had jobs of being cooks at different homes. I remember one year she was at Lakewood at a, must have been a big wealthy place, because in the back they had barns, and we'd play around back in there.
Do you know what year she came here? Be about the turn of the century, maybe?
Let's see. Mom was married at about 18. And let's see, then Sylvia came first, so it was 2 years older than I. So, and I was born in 1913, so it would have been, no, I was born in 1907, so Sylvia's five. It was around about 1900, the beginning of.
And when she came
20th here. Century, yeah.
And then she came directly to Cleveland, to her
she
relatives?
She came to Cleveland, and then she worked with different families.
Do you know what town she came from in Bohemia?
Yeah. Blatna.
Blatna?
I think that was B-L-A-T-N-A.
Hmm.
And,
I wonder if that would mean muddy or mud.
It means mud.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because it does in Slovenian too.
Yeah, right. Because Czechoslovakia, see?
Yeah.
She was born in what was then known as Austria-Hungary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But your dad was born over here then?
Dad was born here.
Okay. Do you know what year he was born?
Probably have it in the records.
He was, he died just a few
died
years
was,
ago.
Dad was 97 when he died. That was about 5 years ago.
Yeah. So he was about 80. He was born back in the 80s then.
Yeah. I probably got a record a little bit. I could.
Mm-hmm. But then he met your mother over here in Cleveland.
Yeah. I guess someone introduced him, and Mom and Dad told me one event they had before they were married. They had flatboats on the canal.
Mm-hmm.
And they had chairs and tables and band, and on Sundays the couples would take a ride. Mules and horses would pull up. It went up around about as Fitzwater or so in back.
That's right, the canal was operating then.
Oh yeah.
Right, right up until 1913, I guess.
So they had a long afternoon then, but they.
That's kind of interesting that your dad, he was born in Cleveland,
you know,
but he did farming there along the canal.
Yeah, because uncle, I think, took him, his parents had died early, see?
Uh-huh.
Because he remembers working all along from Tinker's Creek way down to the canal in different fields. With his uncle.
Were your grandparents, Moraz, were they born in Bohemia?
No, they were
born here also.
Here. Mm-hmm. And
so the Morazes have been here for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And your mother's maiden name?
Bazata. B-A-Z-A-T-A. Bazata.
Yeah.
And her brother then came later, some years after Mom, and he died about 8-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. He lived out around the Mandalay area.
Then your parents got married here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And you say they...
And then they lived in Cleveland and out on the farm around Hathaway and Canal. One year Dad told about, I know which farm it was, just before you got to the...
It's still there, the farm?
Canal, on Hathaway Road.
Uh-huh. Now you have an older sister, you say, Sylvia.
Sylvia is 2 years older than I, and I am 2 years older than my younger sister, Hattie.
Mm-hmm.
And Hattie's 3 years older than my brother, George.
Okay.
And George's birthday is February 18th, and mine is February 17th.
Yeah.
3 years apart.
Uh-huh.
3 years and a day.
George went to school here too, I think.
George graduated from here. Hattie graduated from here. Hattie was in the second class. I was in the first class. And my sister Sylvia went to Bedford because we didn't have a high school then. Mm-hmm. And then from there she went to Dyke School and she worked with the gas company for many years.
How did she get up to Bedford anyway from your place over
there? We had the red interurban line.
Yeah.
Went right up through Broadway, middle of Broadway. And that went way over to Cogger Falls or Springfield Lake, I think, and into town. So that red interurban, as we call it, they kept a lot better schedules than the RTA.
Yeah, and that was the old ABC line.
They were prompt, and heavy snows, they had brushes that cleaned off.
Now that ran right along the middle of Broadway?
Broadway.
Yeah. And then they moved it after a while, they get us down to the tracks?
Then they moved it down to around by the railroad tracks, yeah. Uh-huh. And where you live was stop...
Well, between stop 9 and stop 10, I guess.
Stop 10 was Vicarics, where about the hamburger place is somewhere in there. Vicarics. Scattered.
Okay, now you moved out here then in 1913?
July of 1913.
And there were several houses already there along Maple and
Maple, there must have been about, yes, a few there, and about five or six, maybe seven homes on Milo. Mm-hmm. That seemed to be about the busiest.
Do you know of any special reason why your dad came over to that area? Was it being platted at the time? The lots were available, maybe?
The lots were available, and a few people here, and he bought a couple of homes and dismantled them and had the lumber doors and windows and stuff trucked out here, and he worked with a couple of his friends over weekends.
I even
came out a couple of weekends. He'd sleep overnight in a garage or somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'd help him bring nails and little boards and like, especially I think 1 year before we moved here. That's when we were off in Benham Avenue.
Okay, then you were born in Cleveland and your sister Sylvia was also born in Cleveland. Then your other sister Hattie and George were born here then, I guess.
Oh, Hattie was, wait a minute. Well, let's see, if I was... I was six when we got here.
Right.
We were all born here then.
That's right.
Yeah, we were all born.
Okay.
Over
in Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you remember some of the early farms over there across the bridge? Do you remember, say, around Rockside and Dunham Road? Did you ever go into that area as a youngster?
Well, we had, the biggest farm we had was at the end of our street, Milo, and where Maple came around, was Aylert's farm. But that was right at the borderline. That was in Garfield Heights.
Aylert, is that E-H-L-E-R-T?
E-I-L-E-R-T or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they had a farm, and we'd go for milk. We'd take a can, a bucket, and walk. And my neighbor, Red Thornfield, he'd go along. And he said, twirl it. So we twirl it without spilling a drop. But occasionally we bump something. So we walk back and refill our buckets. Yeah, Red Thornfield.
Okay, that's where that centrifugal force came in that you used to teach us about.
We were working that. And then later they built a concrete block factory there because they had a big sandbag. We used to play in the sandbag and jump at high altitudes.
Yeah, that would be Rackles back then, wouldn't it?
Or well, it's this side of Rackles. Before you got to McCracken, the sandbag was here. Mm-hmm. And then about 500 or 600 feet further was McCracken Road, then Rackles was down north of that, Jim.
Okay, how about the sand pits? Were they being developed at that time?
They had used that. They were using them for their concrete blocks, see? That's why they built their place, because they had enough sand on their own property.
Yeah. Did you ever go down there to the sand pits at all?
Oh, yeah, we were playing there, and then there were apple trees around. We'd each get a big bag of apples, and then we'd start throwing from our protection. Sometimes we'd hide back of hills. And so we had, because there are plenty of apples up in their orchard.
Did you ever throw them on the end of those sticks? You put them on sticks and whip them?
No. I developed my baseball arm throwing apples.
You mentioned Thornfield, so...
Red Thornfield. Yeah. He lived about 100 feet away from us.
You two were in the same class.
Yeah, and there was John Schott across the street from Red. So the three of us were in that first class.
Yeah. The Thornfields, did they come out about the same time you did?
I don't... They were in the room. I think they came a year after us.
Yeah, pretty much about the same time as all of you. What kind of work did your dad do over there?
Dad's a carpenter.
Carpenter?
Yeah. And during the war, he'd work 12 hours a day, and he'd come home when we were in bed, and he'd be gone before we waken in the morning. We wouldn't see him maybe for better than a week.
Did he work mostly in Cleveland?
In Cleveland, yeah.
On houses, housework mostly?
Well, he had to build so many farms in the factories for different things, for shipping, you know, supplies and the like, so he was busy constantly that way.
Mm-hmm. Your mother was home, though?
Mom was home, and I'd go shopping, and maybe once a month we could buy a pound of sugar. But then we had to buy maybe 5 pounds of cornmeal to get a pound of sugar. So I got fed up on cornmeal. My wife wonders what to do, and I keep telling her. I said, I got so much cornmeal during those years, war years, from about 1916 to 18, but the war was on before our country got in there. But we felt the pinch then.
Okay, now you mentioned school. You started school in that frame building.
Yeah.
And then, there were about 18 of you in there.
Then we went up to Granger, where there's a school present now. But they had, I think they had started in 1912, building two rooms. But these were large rooms. Mm-hmm. Two large room frame building for school.
Is that on the site of the present?
Right there where Granger is now.
Okay.
And my first teacher was B. Ballot from Bedford. I had her a number of years. I think there were about 4 classes in each room.
Uh-huh.
And then later they expanded, I think, to 4. And so they could add on to it. And later they tore that down and had another building, and then they tore that and put down the brick building, I guess, that they have now. So there's been about 4 changes there for Granger School.
I see.
And we were there until through 6th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Then from 7th and 8th we walked across the windiest spot in Maple Heights, the old bridge. Whew, winds terrific, shooting up through the railroad tracks, and I went to Broadway School. So I had 2 years of Broadway School.
No. Tell me about Broadway School, when it was built. When you first came here, it wasn't built, I don't think, was it?
There was a Broadway School, but it was a small version of what it was at the end.
On the corner of Lee and Broadway?
Lee and Broadway.
That was one of those district schools, wasn't it? The red brick school building?
Well, there was a small brick building, like one room. We used that for gym practice and basketball, right at the corner of Lee Road and Broadway.
I remember that.
Broadway School was about half its size before they enlarged it. Now, during the freshman years, when they started building, adding to, and enlarging Broadway, and we went down in your area next to Punky's, the first store, I guess it was a...
Herkesman store?
Grocery store. I think that was Herkesman. And in there, dessert was a old big food storage place, freezer, where it was cold, where they had meats. And off the side, there was enough room for our ninth grade. I think seventh and eighth, I think we're both at corner of Broadway and Libby Rhodes in the town hall. I think one class was up and one was below.
Okay.
And then I guess the council would meet maybe at night when school, that when that town hall wasn't used for school.
Do you remember when that town hall was built?
It was up there for...
I kind of wonder if it was built around a little after the war ended, like about 1918.
It could have been, because I think it was there when I went to 7th and 8th grades. 7th and 8th grade. We had to walk across the bridge and up Broadway to the Broadway School.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a... So it could have been just about the time that that war had ended. And then I remember they moved the cart tracks, and then they put brick on Broadway.
Yeah.
It was paved then. And oh, we were so enthralled in watching these guys, how fast they moved those bricks off the conveyor belts and lined them up, and the other guys would follow with sand and tar. And that road makes a good base for the present Broadway.
What kind of a road was it before they put the brick in?
It was dirt.
Just dirt?
And a streetcar line. So,
Well, then Broadway School was built maybe about 1917, thereabouts, before they started adding on.
I think it was used before, I think it was built before then. If I remember correctly, someone telling about being, I'm going to school or in the lower grades before they came to the high school.
Okay.
So about 1922 then is about when Broadway was enlarged, because then I finished 22, 23, 23, 4, and 24, 25. So I graduated in 25, and I had 3 years in that building.
Yeah.
In the renovated and the enlarged Broadway School. And then they had a gym.
Mm-hmm.
Second floor, upstairs,
right.
And lower grades were down below.
Okay. Now that was even before they added on the that auditorium?
That's right. My dad worked in the auditorium during the Depression years. My dad also worked at WPA when putting in that first stadium up there at Stafford. Mm. There was a stadium with a well.
Yeah.
And he worked on the bleachers.
He did.
And then he worked on the ceiling at Broadway Gym there. So that was rough times. And then I took my dad off WPA, and Evelyn and I worked my dad at on Phillips Street. When my dad and another guy closed the whole house, then my dad did all the finishing work. So I paid him.
Uh-huh.
Little better than the WPA job, and he was so tickled to be doing that work. And then Ellen was scraping and painting windows and
like. Okay, now that's something else, and that was over on Phillips Street.
That was on Phillips Cross and John Picard.
Okay, I want to get to that then.
Yep.
When did you start building that house on Phillips?
Must have been about 50, I imagine.
1950? Not before.
Well, wait a minute. Could have been before that, because we came here in 51. So it was 40, must have been about 46 or so.
Yeah.
45, 46.
Okay. You graduated then from Maple Heights,
1925. 25, end of May, yeah.
Okay. Want to tell me a little bit about your participation in athletics, for example, in Maple Heights? I know you played football and basketball.
No, we had football only 1 year, in 1924, the fall, because we didn't have enough boys really to put out a team. We only had 15 on our squad. We only had 4 substitutes.
But you played 11-man football.
11-man football, and that was...
How was it you guys were so tough, because you won all the games, nobody scored on you.
No one scored on us. I don't know, we just took to it so well, we enjoyed it, and our coach Collier, we had, came from Otterbein along with Kuhn, W.D. Kuhn.
Uh-huh.
And so, we just played like mad. Well, then we lost one of our starting 11 after 2 games, I think it was. We'd won those, and then we were supposed to play Garfield in Garfield Park. And just before the game, they said, one of our players wasn't eligible because he had so many quarter. He had started Bedford and then dropped out of Bedford High.
No.
So then put in Red Thornfield, and he was so mad. I never saw anyone hit the line as hard and as low. He break through the line and then he fall on his face, maybe about 6 or 8 yards away.
Yeah.
And we just killed Garfield.
That was over at Garfield Park?
At Garfield Park.
Whereabouts in Garfield Park?
Right close to Broadway, down below.
Okay.
Right out in the open park.
Where they had the armory now?
Right about there. Because I think they used to use that later for soccer.
Yeah.
And then the armory was built in.
Yeah. I remember guys playing football over there, just neighborhood football.
Yeah, so we played hard. And there was no substitutions.
How many seniors did you have when you played? There was you and Thornfield.
Well, it must have been about...
Clemens, or remember his name.
Yeah, Shorty Clemens shot himself a couple years later. Let's see. There must have been about 6. Probably 6 out of the 11. We played full game.
Were most of the boys from across the bridge, from the pro?
Thornfield, Dietrich, Mraz, I think 3 of us. The rest were from the East End. We were the Grove Rats. So we were tough though, but we played hard.
Oh, I know, they were always tough. But some of the other boys on the team, you say they were from the East End, like where, along Broadway?
Along Broadway. One was Big Vaca, used to be right about where that animal hospital is.
Would that be the chief's relative?
Yeah. Norm Vaca, big fella. And
that wouldn't be the chief's son, would it?
Son.
Is that right?
Chief Vaca.
I didn't know he had a son. Okay.
And then one across the street from Broadway School, Ari Scaletta. Shorty Clemens was down Dunham. He's in our area. He was our scat back. And Bill Moore was in here somewhere.
Were there any other fellows from like around this area? Because the Bohemians were starting to come in over here too about that time. Around, say, Phillip Street and Theodore Anthony.
There was a couple that filled in the second year. Uh-huh. Jutzik, I know. Kalinowski and the like. Somewhere, Kalinowski was up here around Broadway, right near where the boat building is, the,
okay.
Right at West Boulevard.
How about telling me a little bit about Stop 10? That was kind of the center of town, wasn't it?
That was a big area. The bridge came across, and we had stores lined on this side, not on the west side of Broadway.
You mean the Carrick store was not in there?
The Carrick was further down north, where Mapletown is now. That was just a big open field, and a creek ran down through there.
Okay.
And but on the east side, there were stores lined up from Maple Heights Boulevard and down Broadway to about a little beyond Friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at stop 10, you had a cluster of homes and a few stores.
Okay. Yeah, Cutler's drugstore there, remember, right on the corner.
Cutler was there.
Now, was that there before or about the time that you came to town?
I think that building was put in a few, sometime later, but it's been an old, old building.
Mm-hmm.
Because most prominent though was Picarics. Sometimes we didn't like to walk all the ways in Granger and across the bridge. We'd hop between the trains.
Yeah.
But that was a big yard. And there
were
generally about 11 different lines
of
boxcars there.
Oh, that was dangerous there.
I know. If any one of those would start up, and it was cold. Sometimes your hand would freeze grabbing the rails to lift yourself up. But we figured we could save something. But
so Carrick's was the big store, though, I guess, huh?
Carrick's.
Was there any other store around the Grove at all, around Granger? Any
We had a grocery store right where Maple or Granger turned at Pease. If you went straight on, you went to Pease.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a store right at that bend. Then we had a grocery store, I think it was down near Granger School was one in there.
There's some saloons around there now. I remember there's like, I think the Granger Inn and Maple.
Yeah. Granger Inn right near the old bridge.
Yeah.
And then
were those there when you came, do you remember?
Yeah. I don't think there were any taverns further than that. I think right at the bridge and then right at the corner at Granger and Maple.
And another building down pretty close to stop 10, be right next to where the village hall was. The bank. Do you remember the bank there? Maple Heights Bank? Right on Broadway?
Oh, yeah, right by the tavern now.
Yeah.
Maple Leaf Tavern, yeah. Uh-huh. That was a savings and loan.
Oh, it was.
And that went under. And we had savings and we lost most of that. And after the depression hit, we could get a home for around $2,500, which today would be $45 to $50.
Yeah.
They had so much property and just things went bad because they had loaned out money because Maple was had been building and suddenly that depression hit and people couldn't keep up their payments.
Were there any roads that were being paved right around the time you were going to school, let's say when you were going to Broadway? Going to the high school.
Broadway, I told you, Broadway had brick.
Right.
And,
like Libby Road, for example.
I can't remember.
That was a brick road also. I wonder if they might have paved that about the same time. Right, tell me about the church then. Was the Presbyterian Church there when you first moved in? I've seen, well, I remember that.
I think that was around about 1910 or so, when it was put in. So
that was put in when it was still Bedford Township?
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. No, that part was a part of Maple Village, Maple Heights Village. See, across the bridge, that was the town, Bedford Township, down Dunham and the Grove.
Maple Heights, I think, I don't think became a village until 1915.
Well, then it was, I don't know.
I don't.
It could have been, but I know we were a different part than, of township than this east side of the, railroad tracks.
The east side then developed before the west side?
Yeah. Because we wanted to join Maple Grove or Maple Village.
Uh-huh.
And that, which they did in 1915.
You graduated then from Maple Heights, and then from there you went to what college was it?
Otterbein College of Westerville.
Mm-hmm. Did you go immediately from the high school?
Yeah. See, we had, Coon was here from there, and Collier. So then, a fellow by the name of Shankland.
Oh, yeah.
It was Clarence, and I went down. And then later came Jordak and Hatfield and Imar, and we remember the Nichols were down there, but they were from southern, around the central part of Ohio.
Uh-huh.
But really about five of us went from here within about 3 years or more than that, because Joe was about 5 years later. Joe Imar went down.
That's church affiliated there, Otterbein, isn't it? Is that the Evangelical United Brother?
United Brother, yes, right. They joined, then they joined with Methodist too, didn't they?
No. They merged then?
Yeah. At first they joined, they were United, they were Evangelical, weren't they? United Brother.
Well, you went to Otterbein. Did you play ball down there too?
Baseball. I was out for football freshman year, and we were cannon fodder for the varsity. They scrimmage against us, and it was rough.
Yeah.
So I, after 1 year, I figured, nah, I'm not good enough to be in varsity, so I didn't spend any time there. Mm-hmm. So I played baseball, and I earned three letters down there.
What position did you play?
Center field.
The same position as in Maple Heights?
I liked the outfield.
Yeah.
But you were asking earlier about Maple Heights. It was basketball. Mm-hmm. We had track and football. But football was only the 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball we had about 3 years, I think.
Maple Heights was a real strong baseball town, wasn't it?
Oh, amateur, yeah, they, so many, hardball,
yeah,
mostly hardball. A little later on, Maple Heights had developed into a softball area.
I understand that back in the 20s, right on Libby Road, pretty close to Payne or Grace, there was a baseball field in there where the telephone building is now.
Yeah.
And that there were hundreds of people who used to come out there and watch baseball.
And we used to have a league here where we played the Slovenians back in your area, back where the builder supply, somewhere in there.
The Greenhurst Field.
They were tough, those Slovenians. They playing in the outfield, I'd have to run my legs off to go chase
them. Yeah,
noses.
I remember that. That was softball, though.
Softball, long drives, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I played till I was about 45, and I figured I saw a couple guys break their leg. So I said, and she said, well, you better quit that. So I devoted my time for golfing.
Yeah. I remember watching you play up there many games. You and Mr. Yamarino, and I think Thompson played too, didn't he?
Thompson, yeah.
And Wiley?
Wiley. I even pitched, about a half a dozen games. And we went to the finals, and I even pitched a shutout in softball. That was a little tough to do.
Sure. Yeah.
But right, most of my baseball was there on Granger, back where the side of the East Ohio Gas Company. There they had the reducing lines. Mm-hmm. They reduced the pressure before they shipped it into the homes because that had too great. The gas came here in through big pipes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good baseball fielder, wasn't it?
There was a nice field there. That was across from the tavern, right at the bend of Granger and Pease Road.
You could play hardball there, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
The kids used to, and then later on, I remember the other fellows used to play softball. But we used to call that the Grove Field.
Grove,
yeah,
right.
Or the Grove.
Now, they built, they dug a gas well in there, off, just off the side of our field. Maple Heights was studded with gas fields, and they had a lot of wells. There's one well underneath the high school auditorium, you know that.
Yeah.
They got that cap. Mm-hmm. But coming up through here, and this was woods up in the east end, there were 8 or 10, and we'd cross Granger from Milo, and we'd be in gas wells all the ways up through beyond Round Rockside Road. And then we used to watch them swab out about once a year, but get the salt water out so the gas would flow better.
Mm-hmm.
Swabbing out the wells.
When you went to Otterbein, what did you major in?
Science and baseball and girls.
In that order.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I had a date until I got out of high school.
Yeah.
I wasn't interested in girls, just sports. And then down there after freshman year, then I diverged into other channels.
That seemed to be typical of Maple Heights boys.
They were shy and they liked sports.
Yeah, they were
sports minded.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't get into much trouble because they're, as you said, involved with that natural occupation, sports.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there were a few fist fights. When Jimmy had a fight, you fought it out. You didn't have people stop you.
You had an education background also then at Otterbein, that is for teaching?
Yeah. So I planned on that right away. I wanted to teach. I liked people, and I thought that was the best line I could follow in. I had 41 years, and I thought that was good.
Yeah, sure was.
Thinking today, to start again, I would hesitate. I think I would go to meteorology. I think I'd like to study that.
You did like that.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And you like airplanes too, I remember. You got people interested in that.
So, but I had enjoyable years and I met so many good people. So these reunions, we have one coming up in about 3 weeks, like class of 50s meeting down there at on Broadway in a tavern downstairs.
You don't mean Danny's, do you?
Danny's, yeah. That's where they're meeting. I think February 15th or somewhere in there. Host of ours with his crew are arranging that.
They had a good class. They had a good football team.
That was beautiful. That was my best class ever as class advisor. Through all the years, I can remember them.
Was Bob Dober in that class?
Dober was president.
Okay,
yeah.
That's it.
And Shermer and Pat Herkesman, over in Seoul, and she called just last week, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all a beautiful bunch. Dave Corsa. They can't locate Dave, though. I don't know what gives. He was such a beautiful quarterback and went to Navy.
You want to back up a little bit then?
Yeah.
After you got out of Otterbein, you went right into teaching.
I met a fellow who came and wanted me to come to New York State, Lake Chautauqua. A woman that had a private school in Canton for years leased a W.D. Packard home It used to be the Packard, from the Packard Motor Company.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the summer home of Lake Chautauqua. It was the biggest state. She visited a number of times. And so they were opening up in September. So this fellow wanted me to take a couple classes at High Estate in certain activities that would I could amuse and teach to children. So I went to summer school and came there in September. And the end of September is when the stock market had its plunge in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 8 or 10 people that had promised their money in backing this school. They had committed suicide. 2 of them jumped out of windows, others shot themselves, and a few others lost everything, but they didn't kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the school was left with practically no help, no financial help. And I know this headmaster fellow that hired me, he left too after